Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
What does it mean to be a man in the year 2013? Has the concept of manhood evolved over the last 25 to 50 years? Is it more challenging to be a man in the 21st century than it was in the 19th century or 20th century? There are many books and magazines that offer advice, knowledge, and wisdom to both young men and old men alike to help them identify their unique gender challenges as well as overcome those same challenges. One such magazine is Esquire magazine, which has been around for the last few decades, and part of the magazine's mission is to educate men, enlighten men, entertain men, and have featured articles that center on self-improvement for men. In the June-July 2013 issue, Hollywood movie star Brad Pitt is on the cover, and the theme of this particular issue is manhood. My guest this evening is the deputy editor of Esquire magazine, and he oversees what articles get published by their most loyal readers to absorb and enjoy. This same man is behind the manhood issue that should be on stands right now. Who is the man whose career is to make sure that many of the best male writers and advisors offer their unique brand of knowledge and wisdom to their attentive male readers? His name is Richard Dormant. And tonight, Mr. Dormant is going to take time out of his very busy schedule so that he may gain the opportunity to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and bury someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how'd you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, June 20th, and tonight's episode is primarily for my male listeners. My male listeners. Now, realistically, I realize I'm in competition with Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So I guess I should say this episode is geared towards my male listeners who are not fans of the NBA, or at least not fans of the NBA's Miami Heat or the San Antonio Spurs. My guest is very influential in the magazine world in New York City, and I cannot wait to converse with him. We're going to talk about the challenges of being a man in the 21st century, the challenges facing men in the 21st century. But before I get to the interview with my guest for the evening, let me tell you about next week's show. Next week, I will have a very accomplished author and award-winning journalist on my show by the name of Daniel Bergner. Daniel Bergner. Daniel is the author of a book that just premiered this month, I want to say on either June 4th or June 5th, and it's entitled, What Do Women Want? Adventures in the Science of Female Desire. Should be a great show. Now, again, I know I'm in competition with the NBA Finals, so I'm probably not going to have a lot of my regular listeners here, but Diva! Diva is here! She's the biggest Miami Heat fan in the world. And she said, Alan, I'm only going to give you about 5 minutes of my time tonight because I got to root LeBron on. And, she, you know, she's the biggest LeBron fan in the world. And, yeah, so she's going to be in my chat room. But anyway, you know, I don't mind her leaving early because, again, this show is primarily for the fellas. But she's my number one loyal listener. And so I appreciate her stopping through at the beginning of the show. I got my man Nelson is in the chat room. Nelson in the chat room. We got a guest. Other shout outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, my younger cousins, JP Jones in Chicago, Christopher Curry in Detroit, at the ball in Maplewood, New Jersey, and Philip Pulliam. And his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam the Third, EVP3 from Seattle, is listening. But I'm sure he got one eye on the NBA Finals too. But he's definitely one of my loyal listeners, and he's listening right now. A few other shout outs would be Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, all the lovely women in my Facebook supporters group. I love you and appreciate you. For always supporting me. Now, like I said, tonight is let me give a couple more shouts. I want to give a shout out to Blog Talk Radio's Chitra Agrawal. Chitra Agrawal is I'm giving her a big shout out. Her and Zandra Hughes, because I mentioned them in. I don't know, a lot of my listeners know this already. I write for an online magazine called the Examiner.com. The Examiner.com. I write little, you know, freelance articles for the Examiner.com. Now, honestly, most of the articles I write, they're always about dating and relationships. And most of the articles I write maybe get, like, I don't know, 5,000 views, particularly in the first 2, 3, 4 days. And they might get, I don't know, 100 likes. You know how you can click on like. And, you know, I'm always happy with the views I get and with the likes I get for all of my articles. But my most recent article, I talked about delusional women and men. Delusional women and delusional men. And I was excited to find out in the first roughly 48 hours after I published that article, I had over 10,000 views, and I have up to about 3,500 likes. Now, for some people who write for TheExaminer.com and other similar sites, that might be no big deal. That might be their regular thing. For me, that's the most views I've ever had in the first 48 hours after I published an article. And it's the most likes I've ever had for an article. So check it out. Go to Examiner.com, put in my name, A-L-A-N, Alan Roger Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, and it's the most recent article. Again, it's about delusional men and delusional women in today's dating scene. And it must have resonated with a lot of people because it got a lot of views and a lot of likes. I'm happy about that. But anyway, I give part of the credit to Zandra Hughes and Chitra Agrawal. She's the director of marketing here at Blog Talk Radio. Because she interviewed me a couple weeks ago, and a lot of things I mentioned are related to that interview. So much appreciated. I also want to give a shout-out to my guest this evening, colleague. He was the one who helped me set up this interview, and that would be articles editor Tyler Cabot. Tyler Cabot from Esquire magazine. I had the opportunity and honor to meet him in Chicago recently. They had a lot of events as part of the Printers Row Lit Fest. Sting was there. He sung a little bit, and they read stories. It was a great event, really well organized, well attended. And matter of fact, later on that night, I got to see Sting in concert at the Ravinia Festival Park in the Chicago area. But anyway, Tyler Cabot, he was the one who referred my guest tonight. And I think it should be a good conversation for my male listeners. So, yeah, the NBA Finals is happening tonight. Game 7, Miami Heat, San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio really should have won Game 6. They really should have won Game 6. So if you're a San Antonio fan, they blew it. They blew it. They blew it. So you might as well just go ahead and give it to Miami, because I don't think San Antonio is going to have the energy, motivation, enthusiasm. When you come that close to winning and you lose the way they lost, it's going to be hard for them to get up for this game. I mean, there's a 1% chance they might win this game. But if I was a betting man, my money is going to be on the Miami Heat. I see Alex, a.k.a. Don Calypso, is in my chat room. Miss Driven has entered my chat room. Welcome, welcome, welcome. James Gandolfini, if you're not, that name doesn't ring a bell. He played, if you're a TV watcher, he played Tony Soprano on The Sopranos. And he unexpectedly passed away. So my condolences to his family, spouse, children, relatives, friends, you know, everybody who knows him. He was a great actor. He was very young. And I was saddened by that news. Yeah, he's passed away. So rest in peace, James Gandolfini. Tony Soprano, that character, he was the TV equivalent to The Godfather, to Marlon Brando's Godfather. I mean, he wasn't a caricature of a mafioso. He really represented him in, I thought, a realistic manner. And I thought he did a good job on that show. And so he surely will be missed. I saw The Man of Steel. Now, a lot of people liked The Man of Steel. It was okay. It was okay. I might give it like 3 out of 5 stars. The fight scenes was just too long. I'm sorry. They just too long. They were too long. Yeah, I can't comment too much on the movie because I'll give away plots, but it was okay. It was slightly above average, but I was expecting more. But, yeah, if I had to make my single biggest criticism, the fight scenes were too long. The big movie coming out this weekend is World War Z with Brad Pitt. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of zombie movies, I'll tell you that. I know a lot of people love The Walking Dead and what's that other movie series that's at the theaters with the chick that walks. So it was a video game. Dang, I can't remember the name of that. I can't remember the name. Somebody in the chat room, help me out. What's the name of the movie? It was a video game, then it became a movie. It's all about zombies. Man, I carry this on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, World War Z coming out. Brad Pitt. And speaking of Brad Pitt, Brad Pitt is on the cover of the June-July 2013 issue of Esquire magazine. And the magazine primarily centers around what it means to be a man in 2013, what it means to be a man in the 21st century. That's going to be the primary discussion tonight. Right now, I'm going to take an intermission break, but when I get back, I will introduce my guests, and we will get this conversation started. So, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's mode1.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward, Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships and self-help for dating singles. Yes, I have more episodes that have been ranked number one as the number one episode of the week than any other show on Blog Talk Radio in the category of romance and dating relationships. Tonight, we want to, again, this show is primarily for the fellas, and there are a lot of books as well as magazines that are geared towards helping boys become men, helping men improve themselves in various aspects of their life. And one of the most prominent magazines is Esquire magazine. I started first reading Esquire, I think, when I was in college. And I've been reading it ever since. And they usually have a lot of great features, a lot of good articles that are both, you know, enlightening, educational, informative, entertaining. And anyway, my guest this evening is the senior editor of Esquire magazine, and he has been editing with Esquire since, I want to say, 2007, and he has overseen several of the magazine's forays into digital technology, including the Esquire Collection, the Logo Project, and the Esquire Songwriting Challenge. He helped Esquire launch Cladman.com, an e-commerce joint venture between Esquire and JCPenney, and is currently spearheading the Esquire Global Initiative, a first-of-its-kind editorial and philanthropic collaboration, I can't talk today, between all 20 editions of Esquire around the world. In his free time, my guest this evening likes to work with writers and edit articles for the magazines, and over the past year, he's edited features on mental health, marriage, and the federal budget crisis, among other features. He's been interviewed in a number of media publications. I've seen him being interviewed on the Today Show, and he's very bright young man, very articulate young man, and it is an honor to have him as a guest on my show. So on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward listeners, give it up for senior editor of Esquire magazine, Mr. Richard Dormant.
Alan, I should just hang up now because it's only going to go down. It's only going to go downhill from here.
I love your sense of humor. Matter of fact, I can tell through our email exchanges that you have a quick wit about you and a great sense of humor.
Well, I try. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure to have you. Now, what made you, from the time, let's go back, a few years in your career, and what made you say, or what was the series of events in your life that motivated you or provoked you to want to get in the world of writing and editing and the whole publishing and whole magazine world?
Well, I think like a lot of people, whenever I picked up a magazine growing up, it sort of functioned for me like an escape to another world. And whether you're reading Sports Illustrated and that was the world of ballparks and football fields, or whether it was a magazine like Time where you could go to the White House or the House of Representatives, or a magazine like Esquire where you could go pretty much anywhere, I always just thought of them as this great opportunity to see the world and experience in a very personal and private way. So that was really the initial thing that turned me on to it. And I've had the opportunity to work at Esquire for the past about 6 years now. And it's been a tremendous opportunity to sort of be at an exciting place at a very exciting time for the world.
Hmm. And how long have you been in your current position as the senior editor at Esquire?
About 6 years.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, more or less, right. More or less since I've been there.
Okay, then I was right in my angel when I said 2007. Okay. Okay. Yeah, now, you have this issue with Brad Pitt on the cover, and it has the theme or headline of, I can't remember the exact verbiage, but something to the effect of what it means to be a man in 2013. What
how to be a man.
That, how to be a man in 2013.
Yep. Every,
how did you arrive at that theme?
Yeah, every year for the past 3 years, we've dedicated our June-July double issue to this idea of how to be a man, because it's a topic that I think a lot of people, it's always changing, and I think a lot of people are sort of curious as to what it means at any given moment, particularly. I think over the last generation, I think we've seen a lot of the stereotypes and a lot of the expectations surrounding the idea of being a man changing and evolving. And transforming before our eyes. So what we like to do once a year is sort of take that topic explicitly and use the issue to explore all the different elements of it. So whether you're talking about a movie star like Brad Pitt, who is the father of six and has this really amazing global lifestyle, but is also a father first and foremost, and there are other things throughout that issue, including, you know, there's a feature that we call, I don't think I can swear on the line, but it's the oh shit
guide. Go ahead, swear.
And so it's the oh shit guide to being a man, which is this idea that you can never really tell the true measure of a man until things go wrong. So it's a feature in the magazine all about, you know, what to do if your teenage daughter gets pregnant, what to do if you get fired, what to do if you get mugged, things, all these things that happen. It's sort of the worst-case scenario guide to being a man and how a man can be armed with the necessary resources and knowledge beforehand to confront these things and make the best of them. So what we try to do in the magazine is really just try to look at this idea of being a man through all these different angles and just try to sort of help educate and entertain our readers in a way that, you know, we don't think anybody else is right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, real quickly, can you, for my male listeners, well, female listeners too, can you go over some of the features in this issue that you think would really, you know, be enlightening to men and entertaining to men, et cetera?
Well, there's one feature in particular that I wrote, actually. I don't tend to write often, but in this issue I did actually write a feature, and it's called Why Men Still Can't Have It All. And it's sort of a response to the conversation that's been happening over the past year about something called work-life balance. And it's something that you've heard a lot about with Sheryl Sandberg's best-selling book, Lean In, and some other articles out in the world, that has sort of talked about how it's very difficult for women in particular to balance the necessary demands of work and life. But what I felt was missing, and I think a lot of men I talked to felt were missing, was the male perspective from that. Because whenever men were discussed in this idea of work-life balance, we were either not included at all, or we were treated as some sort of problem that women had to contend with. But in all the research and all the conversations that I had, that was not my findings at all. You know, if you look at a lot of recent survey data, you'll see that men spend three times as much time with their children than they did 50 years ago. They spend twice as much time doing housework. They work just as hard, if not harder, than they used to. They're reporting greater incidences of work-life stress than ever before, and more than women, actually, in fact. So all this is going on, and men are feeling all this incredible stress, and they're also hearing throughout the media and through, you know, all these different books that they are the problem, when, in fact, they're doing the best that they can. So one thing that we try to do with this article is sort of to unpack some of the stereotypes that are happening right now as far as the life balance, and in particular how it relates to men and how everybody's trying to do the best that they can with their competing challenges for their time and energy throughout the day.
You know, I rarely do this with a guest, but just based on that feedback that you just provided me with, listeners, we're going to give Richard some more kudos.
stop it. Come on.
No, I mean, if you knew my history and more for me with my books. See, my books are all about, they cover a lot of different things, but I would say if I had to attempt to sum it up, it's about male empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And also about giving men a more objective assessment of our strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what you said really, really resonates with me because I just feel, and I don't know, some women might, you know, call me chauvinistic and similar terms, but I feel as we've transitioned into this very politically correct climate and this post-feminism climate that the whole world, particularly corporate America, seems to be all about catering and playing up to women and their concerns and their frustrations and their disappointments. And it's almost like implying that, oh, man, we just have it easy and, you know, the ball is always in our court and we have the power. And quite frankly, it's bullshit. And so when you describe a feature like that, that really excites me. And I'm going to be referring it to a lot of my male friends and acquaintances to read because that's a much needed piece.
And something that I take a lot of pains to point out is that, I mean, I think a lot of the difficulties that you mentioned that women are facing, there are actual difficulties, and I don't think you can discount those. But I think men are facing a lot of the very same difficulties. So it's not a question of men versus women. It's men and women both being challenged by the same things and often the same circumstances. So it's not like men have it any easier or women have it any harder or anything like that. I think it's just a lot of us, you know, once we understand that we're all in the same boat and we're all dealing with the same challenges of getting ahead and being ambitious and being successful, once we all sort of see eye to eye on that, I think we can communicate a lot better. I think we can understand each other a lot better. And I think a lot of the things that plague a lot of relationships, whether it's resentment or misunderstanding, will go away. Because I think that the more honest and the more clear we are with each other as far as all the challenges that we're facing and the hardships and stress that we're feeling, I think the better off we'll all be.
Now, I know you're not a specific researcher, say, of manhood issues or a historian, but in your best estimation, based on your life experiences, your life observations, what would you say are some of the new and or different challenges facing most men in society today versus 30 years ago, 50 years ago, or 60 or 70 years ago?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is the idea of paternity leave. And this is something that I sort of have dealt with personally recently. I have a very small baby at home. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people I know who are going through it. This idea that that men are taking time off after the birth of a child. And this is something that, as far as, you know, corporate and governmental policy, is something sort of really interesting going on. But also in a lot of personal lives, and I think that's something that a lot of men are thinking about. There's a lot of interesting statistics about that as far as why more men aren't taking paternity leave. If you look at a state like California, which recently became the first state to offer fully paid, protected paternity leave, all family leave for men and women for 6 weeks after the birth of a child, 74% of the people taking that were women. Only one in four of the people taking advantage of this was men. And you have to wonder, well, why aren't more men taking maternity leave after the birth of a child if they're allowed to? You know, they're getting paid, it's cool with their boss. You still have this expectation that, you know, among some men that maybe it's not a manly thing to do. Or maybe they're fear that they're going to miss out on things at work, that they'll let a competitor get ahead of them or they'll miss out on a big opportunity. Or maybe there's some men who just don't want to stay home. They love their wife, they love their kids, but they find that maybe there isn't a lot for them to do after the immediate birth of a child, and they want to go to work where they can be productive and where they can be needed instead of being home where they just sort of feel like a third wheel. So paternity leave is definitely something that, you know, our fathers never dealt with. But that's something that I think more and more you're going to hear people talk about. There's also this issue of flex time, or the ability to work from home or to telecommute or to do your job in a way or a place that isn't the standard norm. That's something that sort of blew up, I'd say, probably 3 or 4 months ago when the head of Yahoo came aboard, and in order to save the company or sort of attempt to rescue the morale of the company, she did away with the company's very generous work from home policy. And this sort of caused an uproar, particularly among women, because they felt that it was targeted specifically at them. But the truth is that both men and women are equally likely to take advantage of flex time. And you see more and more men taking advantage of all these opportunities, whether it's telecommuting or working from home or job sharing, taking advantage of work in a way that isn't the 9-to-5 routine that their fathers probably pursued. So those are probably the two main ways that I would say, at least as far as you know, balancing work and life and all these different elements, that sort of differs from 50 years ago.
Okay. Now, how do you think, similar question, well, first I'll confess, a pet peeve of mine. Being a big fan of a lot of, you know, movies and television shows, or at least I used to be, it seems like the entertainment industry and I guess different factions of the media in general have gone to this area where they portray a lot of men as like these bumbling knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
fathers especially, not just men, but fathers in particular.
Yeah, exactly. And the woman is the more sensible one, and the one with the reasons, and he wouldn't be able to, you know, tie both his shoes if it wasn't for his wife. And I can only speak for a lot of my male supporters and readers. They are very angered by that, frustrated by that. So I want to ask you, do you ever receive letters, like letters to the editor, from male readers who are just frustrated with how men are portrayed, particularly in media and entertainment?
You know, it's not something that I think we've heard a lot about as far as fan letters or even comments on Esquire.com. But I think it's certainly something that we've discussed in the magazine. Actually, in this issue, in the June-July issue, one of our columnists, a guy by the name of Stephen Marsh, writes why fatherhood matters, why it's important, and he actually writes about it through a very sort of personal lens in the context of his own father passing away. But he does talk about how, if you look at a show like Modern Family, you know, the father is always the buffoon. And that's sort of a consistent strain throughout, you know, pop culture, whether it's in movies or TV or whatever. And the only explanation I could have for that is that we make for an easy target. Whether we deserve it or not, I think people enjoy it. And, you know, the job of entertainment is to give them what they like. But I think you're right. I think it's not necessarily fair, especially because there are a lot of dads out there, I think you and, you know, a lot of people that we know, who are just, you know, really trying to do their best and trying to be better fathers. And I think you can make the argument that fathers today are a lot better than they were before. They spend a lot more time with their kids. They invest more of themselves and their energy into their kids, and I think that's not really being reflected in pop culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wanted to ask you about a couple of things I scrolled on the Esquire.com website about the issue, How to Be a Man 2013. Now, of course, anytime I see the word sex, it draws me to it because we had a lot of discussion on this show about sex. Now I see the long line. It says sex, masturbation, one good deed away from saving the world. Please briefly enlighten me on what that article is about.
I think that's probably, if I had to guess, I'd say that's an Esquire.com exclusive. It did not appear in the actual magazine, so I haven't caught that one yet. So I'll be interested in reading that one myself.
Okay. For my listeners, some of the other ones, in addition to under the category of How to Be a Man 2013, as Richard mentioned, ESP's What Men Want. There's 1,000 Miles of Man by, I'm probably going to mess up his last name,
Tom Chiarella.
Chiarella. Okay, thank you, Richard. A Man's Guide to Catastrophe. It says how to survive everything from going broke to getting arrested, because sometimes the true test of your character comes after you
fuck. That's right.
Oh, that's classic.
True words have never been spoken, Alan.
Yeah, I agree. That's extremely true. Man at His Best, Esquire Fiction, 106 Stories, the Esquire Guide to Alternative Grilling. Now, what is alternative grilling?
Well, you know, you've got your regular sort of like Weber kettle that we've all got. We got the charcoal, and you got your burgers and all that stuff. But we give a couple of pages in the issue to not only different ways that you can grill, different kinds of grills and different sort of treatments as far as smoking and really getting rich flavor, but all different kinds of stuff that you can grill, in addition to just burgers and hot dogs. And we're not just talking about, like, kebabs either. It's just, you know, all different kinds of meats and all different sorts of treatments and sauces and stuff like that. It's really how to cook amazing food on the grill that you're not really used to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, a couple more would be cars. Men love them some cars. So,
do men still love cars?
I think so. Would you debate that?
No. I mean, I think you read all these statistics lately that, like, especially younger men, like, aren't buying cars the way that they used to. They don't drive as much as they used to. They're not as many drivers. And there's this. There's been all this talk, and we sort of dispute it in the magazine. We think, you know, all our readers really love our car coverage, and there's something, you know, when you talk to a lot of guys about cars, their sort of eyes light up. But you just read all these statistics that car ownership is down and driver license possession is down. So it's a really interesting sort of paradox in what you're seeing. But I think you're right. I think, you know, you talk to most guys about cars, and it's like you with sex. You know, their eyes light up.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, and this is kind of a self-serving question, because my books are centered around – now, anybody who knows me knows I never consider myself a pickup artist, but I do consider myself a Will Smith as Hitch type dating coach.
okay.
Yeah,
I have
a book out called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking, which encourages men to approach women in a more highly self-assured manner and express their romantic and or sexual desires, interests, and intentions to them in a more upfront and straightforward manner, which hence is why the name of this show is Upfront and Straightforward. But anyway, what I was going to ask is that I know what books like Neil Strauss' The Game and the rising popularity of guys in a career like me or similar to mine. Have you guys, and if you have, excuse me for missing it, but have you ever had a feature about... What made me think of this question is I saw about the best bars, and I think they're actually talking about genuinely best bars, but men are always asking me how to pick up women at a bar. So I guess my simple question is, have you ever had like a pickup issue where you had two or three articles that centered around men picking up women or approaching women and attracting and seducing women?
We have not yet. But maybe, you know, the great thing about magazines is that every month we face an empty page. So maybe that's something we can do in the future.
Oh, okay. Now, you and I are just really tight, right? Oh, that's my way of saying it. Don't forget me if you decide to do that issue in the future. Because, no, I mean, worldwide, and I tell... You know, people just don't know worldwide. There's message boards on the internet where just millions of single heterosexual guys go weekly, if not daily, looking for advice on how to better approach a woman, initiate a conversation with them, and ultimately, you know, create some degree of romantic and sexual chemistry, and yeah, that would be interesting to see in a magazine like Esquire.
I mean, we've certainly done like smaller things, smaller features, and
okay.
Because I think a lot of it's really hard to say like a one size fits all, you know, because we're all different, and what works for one guy might not work for another guy, you know, if you know certain guys have personalities that it would seem a little off for them to speak a certain way if it's not true to who they are. So it's really tricky, but you know there are some, you know, the general rules. It's, you know, make eye contact, you know, talk about them as opposed to talking about yourself. You know, little sort of broad strokes that I think apply to most people in the most situations, but I think it's really tricky, you know? Not easy. Not everyone's smooth like you, Alan.
Well, I don't know about that, but, yeah, I definitely have my own unique style that has, you know, worked for me and worked for a lot of my clients. But listeners, I want to invite you, and particularly, of course, my male listeners, if you have a question or comment for my special guest this evening, Mr. Richard Dorman, please call in 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. If you have a question for him, particularly as it relates to manhood or the challenges of being a man in the 21st century, please call in. Now, I want to let people know, as I always do, I see actually a few people in my phone queue, but I don't see the little signal. If you press 1, Blog Talk Radio gives me a little signal. That lets me know that you have a question or comment. If there's not this little, like, I guess you could say, raised hand by your number, that makes me assume that you're just on the phone line just listening to the episode. Matter of fact, I see one Skype call, and I think I know who this is. So I'm going to take it before I do my intermission break. Is this Velatko who wants to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and his guest Richard Dorman?
Yo, what's up? It's
how you
me
doing, Velatko? Now tell my listeners again where you're calling from, because you're an international listener.
Yeah, I'm calling from Macedonia. That is
Macedonia.
Yes. In fact, I think I'm the only one from Macedonia who knows about your books and what you're preaching. Well, actually,
now,
that's
let me
a
ask
lie.
You real quick. Do
one
they
of my
have
friends
Esquire magazine too. In Macedonia?
Yeah, I've heard
well,
about
I guess
Esquire
Richard
and Inquirer.
To
the Esquire magazine and the Inquirer magazine. They're
no, don't say those two in the same sentence ever again in life.
I don't know. You know, it's I've heard about both of them. I just want to get very fast on a topic because I don't want to waste some time because, you know, there are a lot of other listeners.
Okay.
I want to say something. You mentioned something about the game. By the way,
yeah, the game penetrating the secret society of pickup artists.
Wait, sorry, I ignored you, kind of. The game. I have a lot to say about that book. I read that book, and I was like, wow, here's the answer to all my problems with women. And to be honest, very direct, the game is shit, okay? What the game is going to teach you is how to become a pussy artist. That's how I call them. They're not even pickup artists. They're pussy artists.
Your voice is kind of, Velatko, your voice is kind of fading in and out. Is that to do with the Skype? Because I noticed you called in via Skype, but I'm having problems hearing you. It's kind of like you going, sometimes I can hear you, sometimes I can't. Let me ask you, before you get into a tangent about the game, because I don't want to segue too much away from my main topic, what would you say for you, Velatko, do you feel are maybe 2 to 3 challenges you have about being a man, being a young man?
Okay. Well, the first one is definitely going beyond the nice guy syndrome. That is the first thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest problem, the biggest challenge that men have to deal with in the 21st century. Okay, we have more nice guys in everyday, you know, more and more are coming. It's very sad because, as you explain in your book, nice guys are anything but nice. They're manipulative, insecure beings. And, you know, that's who I was. Now, to go beyond that, you have to connect really to your core confidence, which everybody has. And it's very simple. All you have to do is remove all that bullshit from the society, which is, I think, what your book really does. You said you kind of see yourself as a Will Smith Hitch type of guy. I would call you a self-improvement coach. Okay? Yeah, your focus is mainly on how to behave towards women, but it's also about life. You know, Mode 1 is not about women also. It's a way of life for me.
I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate the flattery. My only thing, I don't want to get too much into my book because, you know, in respect to my guests, I just want to talk about... Let me ask you again, like Richard said, he wrote a piece in this issue about what men want, you know, the idea, can we have it all? Do you think you, thinking about your goals and objectives for the next few years, career-wise, financially, education-wise, do you think you can have a fulfilling, satisfying, well-balanced life?
Yeah. Yes, you can. But you have to be willing to put on the work, okay? Because most men are lazy, okay? They live in denial. A lot of my friends, they live in denial, okay? Because they see that their life is, like, crumbling and over, you know? And they do nothing about it. It's funny. We as men, we have so big egos that, you know, accepting that something is not okay and is like a big scary thing for us. It's the first thing that actually stops us from progressing.
Okay, well, let me stop you right there, Vlaco, and let me ask Richard. Yes. Richard, have you ever, has the magazine ever done a piece examining the male ego?
What do you mean by the male ego? By
that man's ego and its effect on, you know, his, as I would define ego, that aspect of him that's always concerned with how he's perceived, his image, his reputation, whether or not people like him or dislike him, how great he is or not great he is, etc.
You know, I think that's all part and parcel when you talk about a man's confidence, and I think that's something that we try to get at a lot, and it's walking a fine line between being confident, especially in yourself, in knowing who you are and what you stand for and what you want, but also coming off as kind of like a jackass, which no one wants to, obviously, and it's just sort of it's sort of finding the balance that's right for you, and some of us are better at it than others, but I think it's important that every man has confidence in and of himself, and that, you know, especially when it comes to dealing with other people, with women, with coworkers, with their family, to be able to know who you are and what you want and how you're going to get it is probably the single greatest thing that a man can have in his life.
I would agree with that. Now, let me ask you, I'm sure you saw the movie Jerry Maguire, when Tom Cruise's character created what he felt was should be the mission statement for his sports agency. You, as being senior editor, along with your colleagues, what would you say in a sentence or two is the mission statement, the primary mission of Esquire magazine?
Well, we have a tagline called "Man at His Best," and that's kind of everything that we do is reinforced, and the goal. And that is the goal of everything that we do, is try to help men be their best selves. And whether that's through their professional lives, through their romantic lives, through their interior lives, through their family lives, through the things they own, through the things they want, through the knowledge that they have, it's really about pushing men to be the best version of themselves, and to have some fun with it. Because I think, you know, again, another really important thing outside of confidence is a sense of humor about the world and about oneself, because, you know, everybody likes a sense of humor.
Yes, I would agree with that. Listeners, I'm going to take – oh, Vlaco, appreciate your call, as always. And I'm going to take an intermission break. But again, when I return from the intermission break, if you have a question for Richard, maybe a question about the features in Esquire magazine, or just a question or comment related to the challenges of being a man in the 21st century and how to be a man in 2013, even tell me what your definition is of being a man. Please do. 646-478-5710. Again, that's 646-478-5710. Right now, I'm letting my guests get a swig of water again as I take an intermission break. But I will be back in about roughly 3 or 4 minutes. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Mode One.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist. So I'm getting treated for
my sex appeal. This is Nikki Trum, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy. You're not the richest guy out there. How are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello.
And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, the lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff, because it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He's hooked up with tons of girls. Good teacher, and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I will see you.
You
soon.
Will?
Ryan.
Ryan. We do.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good. It's a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing, actually, in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chat girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. It's one little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the bootcamp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What... Abby, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview and discussion with senior editor of Esquire magazine, Richard Dormant, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And if you're just tuning in, my special guest tonight is the senior editor of Esquire magazine for men. And I'm sure, of course, a few women read the magazine as well, but the magazine is primarily geared towards men. I've been reading it probably since I was like 18, 19, 20. And what we're discussing is their current feature in their current edition of Esquire is How to Be a Man 2013, a feature that Mr. Dormant conveyed to me that they've been running for the last 3 years, How to Be a Man. And so we're talking about manhood tonight, some of the challenges of being a man. Now, I know in addition to this edition, oh, and if you want to call in, we only have about roughly 15 minutes left for the interview, but if you want to call in and ask a question of Mr. Dormant or express a comment of your own related to manhood or the challenges of being a man, the number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. I wanted to quickly say, since I know we're competing with the Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the Miami Heat are leading in a close game as of right now. It is 75-73 in favor of the Miami Heat. 75-73 Miami Heat over the San Antonio Spurs in Game 7. Now, I picked up recently, Richard, the Black Book. And can you tell my male listeners, if they're not familiar with it, the some of the features and benefits of them reading the Esquire Black Book?
Yes, it's something we do twice a year, and we call it the Style Manual for Successful Men. And it's basically an effort to look at things that are a little bit higher end than we typically feature in the magazine. So whether that's clothes or cars or gadgets or things like that, if you have a little bit more money to spread around, or if you're looking to invest a little bit more, a little bit wiser and a little bit more of your money into the things that make up your life, then this is a good resource for you. It's a lot like Esquire in the scope of the things that we cover and the sort of sense of humor and the sort of sense of knowledge that we bring to it. But the stuff in there is a little pricier. But we explain, and we go to great lengths to explain why it's often worth the money and why, you know, what you're getting for spending a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, Richard, on a more personal level, if you could name 3 to 5 men, it could be somebody that was real close to you, somebody like, I don't know, maybe your father, or it could have been a fictional character in a movie or anything in between. But name 3 to 5 men that really influenced you, how you think, how you behave, and that you feel kind of personify your brand of what it means to be a man.
Well, we get asked this a lot as far as like, and it's, this isn't really about me so much as the magazine, you know, who are the men who represent us? You know, every month we typically have a male celebrity. Sometimes we have women celebrities. But when we put someone on the cover of the magazine, we're sort of endorsing them to the extent that, you know, we're putting Esquire, Man at His Best, next to the image of this person. So we tend not to put people on there just for sort of tabloid value. We really like to say that we believe in them and we believe in the work that they're doing. And so we get asked a lot about, you know, the people who our favorite people are to put on the cover and who we think really represent, you know, what we talk about when we talk about men today. And there are a couple guys sort of across the spectrum. There are guys like George Clooney, who's a little bit older, but he's somebody who is extremely talented, very smart, has a great sense of humor, very confident, just really comfortable in his own skin. You have guys like Robert Downey Jr., who's, again, a very talented guy, but also very funny, and has been through a very difficult time and managed to come through the other end with his life and his sense of humor still intact. And then on the lower end, you have guys like maybe like a Ryan Gosling, who shows all of those attributes as well that I just discussed, but also is able to man. So I'd say when you're talking about what we stand for as a magazine and who we like to sort of project as a great example of men, that's who I'd talk about.
Now, what did you like most about? Give me some characteristics that you and your colleagues really found yourself in admiration of Brad Pitt.
I mean, everybody admires Brad Pitt, right?
You're like, are you kidding me, Alan? Who doesn't admire Brad Pitt?
Well, first of all, he's 50, which is kind of crazy. You know, when I was growing up, you look at Brad Pitt today, that's not what I pictured a 50-year-old man looking like. He's in the prime of his life. He looks fantastic. He's got six, you know, young children. I think they're all under the age of 10 or 12 or something like that. He's got, you know, the most beautiful woman in the world on his arm. He gets to do whatever projects he wants. He does the projects he believes in, and it's not just movies like World War Z, which is actually coming out tomorrow, which are these big popcorn movies. He does a lot of interesting smaller movies that probably don't make a lot of money and that a lot of people don't see, but he does them because he wants to do them. So those are just, you know, sort of the surface things, you know, just the surface attributes. But we also think he's just a really interesting guy. He's got a good sense of humor about life. He's been around forever, and we sort of watched him grow up and become a man who's really comfortable in his own skin, which I think, especially in a place like Hollywood, is not a foregone conclusion. You know, a lot of guys sort of fall off the rails, or they grow up in a bad way. They'll either become boring, or you won't really recognize them anymore. And I think he's avoided all of those traps. I think if anything, he's just become more likable the more that we know him. And, you know, how many people can you say that about? You know, you like him more the more that you know him.
Mm-hmm. Now, as Esquire, I can't think, but sometimes it seems to be inevitable that a magazine, maybe once a year, once every 2 years, and once every 5 years, might have some piece, some feature that ends up causing some type of controversy or heated debates. What was the last feature that Esquire magazine had that had people really riled up?
Well, with our March issue, we on the cover and in a very long feature inside, we identified or at least told the story of the man who shot and killed Osama bin Laden. And it was written by a writer and reporter named Phil Brownstein, who did a miraculous job of interviewing and telling this soldier's story. And when it came out, there was obviously, you know, we did not identify the subject, the shooter, as we called him, mostly for security reasons, for his personal security.
Yeah.
But when it came out, there was a lot of chatter online that, you know, he wasn't the guy, that what he was saying wasn't true. But, of course, the people who were saying these things were not in Osama bin Laden's compound either. And so you get to this thing where we feel totally confident in the reporting that our reporter did and in the sort of researching and fact-checking that went into this feature. But it's sort of the first draft of history. And I think, you know, we'll ultimately be proven to have actually identified this guy and told the real story. But it's going to take some time for that to settle. And until then, I think there will continue to be people who will think that this article that we published was either inaccurate or exaggerated, you know, this person's role. But, you know, we obviously don't believe that. We, you know, think it's a fantastic story that's accurate. And if you haven't had a chance to read it, it's really an incredible read. It's called The Shooter, and it was in our March 2013 issue.
Oh, I'm going to definitely have to check that out for sure because, I remember, you know, they had the 60 Minutes piece with the guy. Yeah, I would be very curious to read that. Now, in my introduction of you, I was reading some of your accomplishments, some of the things that you spearheaded to do at Esquire Magazine. Briefly tell me about the Esquire Collection.
That's something we've done. We do sort of once a year. And we reach out to a couple different people who make clothes, fashion designers, brands that we really like, and we get them to make great things just for us and just for our readers. I mean, they're for everybody, but they are introduced to the world through our magazine. And we're constantly sort of pushing the boundaries of what we think men want and what they need in their lives as far as clothes. So we team up with these designers, and they create special things just for us. And we share them with our readers in the hopes that maybe they'll pick them up and improve their wardrobes a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Similar question. The Logo Project.
The Logo Project was something we did a few years ago, and it was, you know, I think you were looking at the magazine, but our logo is pretty famous. It's been around for 80 years. Esquire is celebrating its 80th anniversary this year. And what we wanted to do was take this very famous logo and try to give it over to all these different graphic designers and directors and artists and have them reimagine it for the 21st century. So if we were starting Esquire today, what would our logo look like? So we tapped the chief car designer at Ford Motor Company. We got the guys from who created Angry Birds.
We got Michel Gondry, who directed The Science of Sleep and The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And we asked about 10 other people to recreate the Esquire logo for the 21st century. And the results were really amazing. Some of them were short films. Some of them were three-dimensional animated graphics. Some of them were cartoons. Some of them were sculptures. That was, I believe, our February 2010 issue, 2011 issue. But it's on our website, Esquire.com, if you just, or you can just Google Esquire Logo Project, and you'll see all these sort of multimedia examples of the Esquire logo for the 21st century. It was a really fun project.
You mentioned 2010. I noticed that you were the 2010 recipient of the Hearst Magazine Spotlight Award for Innovation. Congratulations.
You really, Alan, you really do your research. I was.
I tried.
That was me.
Okay, and well, major kudos to you. I know it's, you know, that's been a few couple of years now, but still. And finally, I wanted to ask what I had read about you helping launch what's called Plaid Men. Could you briefly explain that?
Yeah, that was an initiative. It's unfortunately no longer around. But we started a department store that we would put everything in there, and everything that was going to be in there was going to be approved by us. We had it up and running for a while, but then it sort of didn't work out for a variety of reasons. But it was a really fun and interesting project that just sort of goes to show that, you know, when we talk about magazines today, we're not just talking about the stories that you read on paper. It's magazines can be found all over the place, whether it's a website or a tablet app or something on your mobile phone or a social site or even a store where you buy your clothes. It's sort of, you know, we're expanding every day.
Hmm. Now, what do you think about, you know, my brother and I talk about how a site like Amazon.com, to at least a small degree, has just killed the appeal of many bookstores. I can barely find a Barnes & Noble around like I used to. How has the Internet, you guys were able to transition into the, you know, the digital age pretty well, but has there been any frustrations with the modern technology age and the advent of the Internet in terms of it affecting maybe readers' motivation to go to their local newsstand or bookstore and pick up the magazine?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem that every person who creates things is dealing with. I mean, you see it in the film industry, you see it in the newspaper industry, the music industry, certainly.
Yeah.
How we distribute what we do and how people consume what we do has just been changing so rapidly over the last, you know, 20 years. I think you're right that magazines, and in particular monthly magazines, have done better than others because our bread and butter, the print thing that you hold in your hands and you put in your lap and you turn the pages, has fared better. I think people have a better relationship with that than they do with, say, a newspaper that they get rid of at the end of the day. So I think that our sort of, you know, our core product has withstood this a little bit better. But I think you're right in that Esquire has done pretty well in transitioning a lot of what we do to our website, Esquire.com, and also into our tablet app on both the Galaxy and the iPad. Every issue of Esquire is available via iPad or the Galaxy, which is a Samsung tablet. But also we just started something called Esquire Weekly, which is a weekly edition of Esquire that you can get exclusively on your iPad or just any tablet app. And it's just sort of something extra that you get in addition to if you're a monthly subscriber or if you're a daily reader, you get this weekly e-publication. So I think like a lot of publications and like a lot of editors and a lot of people who create what we call content, you know, we're constantly trying to figure out how to stay ahead of the curve. And I think the name of the game is experimentation and being willing and able to try everything that works and risk, you know, taking on risk and being, you know, being open to failure, because we all fail That's sort of the price you get for taking risks. But I think, you know, you just have to keep doing that. And, you know, now is not the time to be complacent and just to say that things are what they are, because, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, there was no iPad. 5 years ago, there was no iPhone. You know, technology is changing so rapidly, and the way that we consume, whether it's words or music or movies, are changing so rapidly that it's a really exciting time to be doing what we're doing, but it's also very challenging. So that's sort of what we've been doing, is trying to confront that challenge head on and to get out in front of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I bring this interview to a close, if I had a male listener say, you know, Alan, I was listening to Richard, and I'm leaning towards getting a subscription to Esquire magazine. Give me 2 to 3 selling points of why I should go ahead and get this subscription. What would you tell them? How would they benefit from getting a subscription to Esquire magazine?
We have great entertaining stories. We have beautiful pictures of women and other beautiful, you know, things to look at. And we will make you laugh. We promise you will laugh at least once in the course of reading an issue of Esquire. I promise, or your money back guaranteed. Those would be my 3 things.
Okay. Now, beyond this issue, any other, like, maybe big projects or events that are related to Esquire that are coming up in the next, say, 6 to 12 months?
Absolutely. We're launching a TV network, the Esquire Network, in September. Which we're very excited about, and which we're working very hard on right now. But it's called the Esquire Network, and it's going to be available in 65 million homes around the country, which hopefully will cover some of your listeners. So you should keep an eye out for that. We have our 80th anniversary issue launching in October, which is going to celebrate our 80th anniversary in a way that we feel has never been done before. I can't really talk about it. Can't talk particulars, okay. But it's an extraordinary way to celebrate it. I'll just leave it at that. And those would be the 2 main things I would ask your listeners to keep an eye out for.
Okay, great. Well, it's been a pleasure conversing with you, Richard. I feel like you've dropped a lot of knowledge on my listenership and highlighted many of the appealing reasons why they should pick up a copy, particularly the June-July 2013 copy issue of Esquire magazine. I want to wish you continued success in your position with the magazine. And again, I'm going to do my self-serving pitch. If you guys over the next 6 to 12 months, you know, decide to do something related to dating coaches, seduction gurus, that type of thing, you know, keep me in mind. You know, or even if I wasn't included, I would have some ideas for what to talk about, because the big thing in that industry is direct versus indirect. That's all guys talk about. Should you be direct or indirect? But anyway, but yeah, it's been a true pleasure having an opportunity to talk to you about how to be a man in 2013.
Well, the pleasure's been all mine. Thanks so much for having me on.
All righty, Richard. Listeners, join me next week, as I will have an award-winning journalist and author by the name of Daniel Bergner. Daniel Bergner will be on my show next week. He wrote a book that just came out, I want to say a couple weeks ago, called What Do Women Want? A Adventure in Scientific Research of Female Desire. That will be my guest next week. So until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I will see you next Thursday. Join me next week at same time, same place. I'll see you then.